A very good morning to you, and welcome to our Sunday service. This week we'll be continuing to consider how we can serve God on our front lines, and John will be bringing us a sermon about how each of us has a front line, whatever we do. But before we begin, let's offer our time together to God. These words are from Psalm chapter 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my beds in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Lord, we come together this morning as a group of your people who do so many different things on our front lines. But we all share the fact that whatever we do, we are called to do it for your glory. Bless this service now, I pray. Amen.
Hi there. I've been asked to share a little about my front line. If you'd asked me a couple of years ago where was my front line, I would probably have said it was my place of work. After all, that would be where I would have spent most of my time, same place, same people day after day. Being no longer in paid employment has caused me to think differently about that question. Doing the series of studies together has caused me to try and formulate an answer, as I no longer spend the vast majority of my time in one place. I've come to the conclusion that for me, my front line is not so much a place, but rather a state of mind. A state of preparedness, a state of readiness to serve, wherever the Lord should take me, whoever he shall bring across my path. That perhaps means instant action, so being in a state of preparedness is necessary. Therefore, I need to know what I believe and I'm convinced of. I need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I need to be prepared to be a fool for Christ. I need to be prepared to serve. Not an easy one for me, believe me. I need to get the balance right, as it is the gospel, not me, that is the power of God for the salvation of the soul. And having done all this, I need to realise that this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who brings eternal value to anything that I might do. I'm more convinced as the years go by that as Christians we are called quite simply to be. And that being might be full of intense activity, noise, clamour, many words and actions, or, and equally so, that active being might be the complete opposite of those things, or indeed a combination of both. Scripture tells us to make sure that in your hearts you honour Christ as Lord, always being ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you have. Be ready to give the reason for it, but do it gently and with respect. May God bless and inspire you as you explore your front lines day by day.
Hello, my name is Jane, and this is my front line behind me, Southland School. It's a special school on Beach Road, and we usually have about 120 young people, but at the moment we have about 50. It's for students for 11 to 16 who have a moderate learning difficulty and or autism. Work for me at the moment is a little bit different. I'm in a classroom with five students. We spend the whole day together. I work with them through their work packs made by their specialist teachers. I serve God by listening to them, trying my best to help them, to be patient, and by doing all that by social distancing. I serve God by trying to see each student as God sees them and not let my insecurities and judgments affect that. I always also try and help the students to see themselves as God sees them and get past their negative self-image.
Hello everyone, my name's John. This is my front line, Southland School. I work alongside Jane. I am incredibly humbled and touched to be given the opportunity to speak to you all, and thank you ever so much for listening and considering what we do. I would dearly love you to include us into your thoughts and most in depth into your prayers, to consider the hard work that's been done here for all of the young people who are either in school or being educated at home presently, but also to have some prayers for the staff who have got some very difficult decisions to make. They've got to operate in a different way to a manner that they've ever worked before, and also to please mention them in your prayers, to give them strength, fortitude, clarity of decision making, but moreover hope and faith that the light at the end of the tunnel will soon get bigger and brighter, and we'll be able to get back to a regular set of school activities. Thank you for your time. God bless you all.
Good morning. I'm Sarah Jane. Like many people during lockdown, my front line has shrunk quite a bit. It shrunk further 3 weeks ago when I fell and broke my wrist. So now I'm spending most of my time at home with my husband, Colin, who's been working at home throughout the pandemic. He's very busy and he has a lot of Teams calls and Zoom meetings through the day. So I try and keep him sustained with regular cups of tea and coffee. I also spend time with my mum, who lives on her own in a retirement flat, about 20 minutes walk from here. I did take her out regularly, but since I've broken my wrist, I can't drive. So I just visit her as often as I can, and we keep in daily contact by phone. Other than that, I just keep in contact with friends by phone, and especially those who are living on their own and just need a little bit more encouragement. And that's me.
Hi, I'm Beth Miller, and with church members Carol and Dawn and a team of fab parents from the community, I run a cafe drop-in at Whitley Bay Baptist Church for families whose children need extra care. Take five and chat. This is very much my front line. Until March last year, we opened the cafe in the small hall on Wednesday afternoons all year round, including school holidays. Sharing our building in this way provides a safe space for families to interact and support each other, as well as enjoying great coffee and homemade cakes. During the COVID pandemic, we've had to find different ways to offer friendship and support. Most of our cafe guests have joined our closed Facebook group, and we shared out the members of this group amongst the team, offering friendship and support to the families. This gives every parent carer a named member of the team who remains in personal contact with them if wanted. This has been very well received and shows love and care to those who normally drop in at Whitley Bay Baptist Church on Wednesday afternoons. Through regular contact with the team, I can hear of any families who might need further support, and we can act on that together. We've kept the cafe running and via Zoom every Wednesday afternoon, and have recently been also running a separate drop-in for North Tyneside Parent Carer Forum. We bring our hot drinks, our snacks, our children and our pets together wherever we are via our phones, tablets and computers. It isn't quite as good as meeting face to face, but it keeps relationships alive, and it shows that it's only the building that's closed. We have no hidden agenda at Take Five and Chat. We are simply here to serve. But whatever we do, wherever we are, God walks amongst us on this front line, whether or not everyone in the room or the Zoom acknowledges him.
The band are going to lead you now in a song that was written a few years ago, but's new to us at WBBC. It's my pleasure also to introduce a friend of mine, Bill, who's playing guitar with us this morning for this song. So please join us as we sing together, Breathe On Us Now.
Let us all pray. Living God, as flowers that turn towards the sun, so we turn to you, our light and the source of all life. We ask for your love to sustain us, your will to strengthen us, and your wisdom to guide us. Please help us to become more aware of your many gifts to us, even at this time, the provision of daily necessities, the blessing of family and friends, whether in person or at a distance, and the medical services, including the development of vaccines. However, we pray for all those who feel wounded, weary and broken, anxious and lonely. God have mercy and bring healing and peace. We pray also for those in greatest need, the poorest people in the poorest countries, and for all those who work steadfastly to help them. Forgive us for the harm we have done to our brothers and sisters, living now or as yet unborn, and for the harm we have done to your whole creation. The heating of the earth, rising sea levels, extinction of wildlife, and dispossessed peoples. We confess that by our action and inaction, we have contributed to changes in our climate. Please forgive us for our failure to care enough to change the way we live, and the times we have hesitated to speak up. Now a prayer written for the Paris Climate Conference by Bishop Eleanor of Swaziland, who sadly died of COVID last month. Loving God, blessed be the work of your hands. Your spirit inspires trees and birds and waves into song and dance. It is that same holy wind that breathed on your disciples and on all creation. Let your spirit blow us to creative love and stewardship that shows reverence to your creation. Amen.
Father God, we also want to remember those named in our church bulletin. Liz, Kate, Tom, Freddie, Alf, Carol, and Amy's mum. Lucy, David and baby Sophie, the Spears and Shrubsole families, and Brian and Jackie Chilvers waiting to join the team in Chad. May each one know your help for their particular need at this time. We also pray for our church leaders who work hard on our behalf. Please give them wisdom and guidance in their various responsibilities. We thank you for them and for many others, such as the parish nurses and pastoral care team, who serve us so faithfully week by week. Also, our youth and children's leaders, we pray you will encourage them as they reach out to our young people, many of whom are struggling with the uncertain situation they find themselves in. Please help us all to live one day at a time, remembering our future is in your hands and trusting in your promise never to leave us nor forsake us. All these things we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This morning's Bible reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then in verse 23 it says, Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. Father, help me do good today.
I want to shape this place to your design.
Help me see the value my work has to you.
May I model your kindness and patience.
So that you are recognised.
May they know Jesus through my presence.
May they see your light as I share mine.
Give me your joy and self-control.
So that your warmth touches those I meet.
Help me to be generous.
Quick to put others first.
Sharing clearly your love and grace.
Give me words to speak about you.
And courage to stand for justice and truth.
Whatever the day brings.
In my humanity, weakness, breakthrough.
Let my life overflow with you.
So we continue our series in the Frontline series on this Sunday morning, and it's the next one entitled "Whatever I Do" or "Whatever You Do." And I must admit, when I first heard the title, I immediately thought of that famous Bryan Adams song from the 90s. "Everything I do it for you." The iconic song with the backing track, the theme song for the movie Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. But it's not only that film. It was, I don't know if you went to events in the 90s, particularly youth events. Every event I seem to go to, they seem to have the video of Jesus of Nazareth, the crucifixion scene, with the backing track of Bryan Adams belting out, "Everything I do it for you." Because it was the imagery and the fact that Jesus was sacrificing everything to prove his love for us, but to prove God's love for us, to draw us to God's side, to draw us into God's kingdom. It was the ultimate act of a servant heart. Jesus came to serve. And you know, the passage that we've looked at in Colossians chapter 3 talks about do everything as though you were working for the Lord. So whatever we're doing, wherever our front line is, we do it for Jesus. We do it with that servant heart, that servant attitude. Wherever we find ourselves, let's do it with a servant heart. It's an attitude thing. It's an attitude we are called to have, an attitude we are called to be, a be attitude. Because if we call ourselves disciples, we choose to follow the example of the one we follow, who's Jesus. We choose to follow the example of our Lord. Jesus served. Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." What did Paul do? He served. In writing to the Corinthian church, Paul points to the importance of identity as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. And he notes that the servant in this instance means under rower, someone who is simply responding to a higher authority and doing his or her job. Both Jesus and Paul were content and secure in their serving. Part of my job is working with leaders. I've worked with a number of leaders and spent time working, investing, equipping, mentoring younger leaders especially. And whoever it is, whoever I look at leaders and I'm moving those sort of circles, the primary quality I look for is the heart of a servant. Might be something me, but their message, their lifestyle has a lot more kudos about it if I see a servant attitude, if I see that sense of humility. Not only a servant attitude, but also a servant in action as well. I'm renowned for saying this quote that I nicked from someone. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. If serving is beneath you, then leadership is beyond you. That's why I firmly believe it's a value of leadership. Personally, if I don't see that in someone, if I don't see a servant heart and servant attitude, I think there's something fundamentally missing. You see, whatever our front line is, I believe that we are called to serve. We are called to serve. Whether that's an employed, paid frontline job, whether it's in a volunteer capacity or even in a relational family capacity. It's an opportunity to serve, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. You see, servanthood, serving, it's not a sign of weakness. It's not about being a doormat, but it is about perspective. It's about attitude, a servant attitude, an attitude of serving. It's not a platform for our agenda. It's about submission and service. See, there's a power in serving. The leadership management guru Larry Spears said, Do those served grow as persons? Do they, while being served, become healthier, wiser, freer, more autonomous, more like themselves, more likely themselves to become servants? As I said, my day job is supporting those on the front line in youth ministry and leadership as part of my role in Youth for Christ. But I was challenged, especially this summer when I had a couple of months off on furlough, about how I could make the most of that that time and serve. I heard about all these different projects that were going on and people using their time. And I knew I had time, and I just felt that that conviction prompted, like many of us do, to make the most of our time. Especially when hearing about those that are vulnerable and on the edge and in need, on the margins. How could I help them? What could I do? What part could I play? To cut a long story short, I heard that drivers were needed to deliver meals as part of a community initiative in the town. So something stirred within me, and I knew I had the time, so I knew this seemed like the opportunity God was affording me. You see, it's like the story Andrew told a few weeks ago about the bird on the edge just needing to be a little bit shoved and then fly. I guess we all get to that situation where we're just standing, sitting on the edge of things, wondering what to do. Sometimes we just need that little shove, maybe that prompting, just to be able to fly. Delivering meals was fine. And as Bonhoeffer would say, you know, that famous theologian, as well as the lead singer of U2, find out what God is blessing and join in. You see, God's heart is for the poor. And that's so evident throughout Scripture. But I still felt challenged about how I could be a blessing to the people I was taking meals to. So I just did it simply. I got my Youth for Christ face mask on, branding, so they knew there's something there. I made sure I always stayed around just to chat just for a few minutes, see how their week was, what they were doing. And he always ended by saying, God bless, have a good week. Just simple things, so I could do in the context of the project. But I felt that it was just by a bit of just being a blessing to them. We can all be that to people. We can all be that to people. You see, the passage reminds us to do all this in the name of Jesus. And when we do something in the name of Jesus, we are acting as Jesus' representative. We are his ambassadors. We can parent children and be a friend in his name. We can sell things or run business meetings in his name. We can plumb sinks or fix cars in his name. We can coach a team in his name, care for a patient in Jesus' name. You see why we are each called to be Jesus, to be Christ's ambassadors, to represent him in what we do and what we say. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me to do our daily tasks in Jesus' name? One thing is, it means to do it all with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. You see, there's an opportunity for us all now to serve, to be the hands, the heart, the mind, the eyes, the voice of Jesus. We just got to look up. We've got to look out. And we've got to act. We've got to look up. We've got to look out. And we've got to act. It's about serving in the small. There's some people's front lines that we can't talk about, but they're still important. We're called to serve. Our front lines may seem small, but that's okay. It's good. We're called to serve in the small. Didn't Matthew 25 say when Jesus was talking, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me? When I was hungry, did you clothe me? When I was thirsty, did you give me a drink? When I was a stranger, did you find me a home? When I was sick, did you help heal? Whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me, says Jesus. And it might be a text, it might be a call, it might be a card, it might be a chat. Most of us are living a digital life at the moment, so we all have openings and opportunities to connect with people, to be a blessing, to serve. I'm always taken and stirred by a quote, once again by Bono, and he said this: God is in the slums, in the cardboard boxes where the poor play house. God is in the silence of a mother who has infected her child with a virus that will end both their lives. God is in the cries heard under the rubble of war. God is in the debris of wasted opportunity and lives. And God is with us if we are with them. God is with us if we are with them. What are we doing to make a difference? You see, by simply serving, we can make a kingdom difference. Whatever we do, do it in the name of Jesus and make a kingdom difference. My morning reflection this morning that I am recording this was based upon the teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola. And just said this: in the end, do something. Even if the direction isn't entirely clear, there are many ways to serve God. Don't be dead in the water. Get the ship moving. Don't be dead in the water. Get the ship moving. Everything we do, let's do it in the name of Jesus. Let us pray together. Lord, as we scatter to our front places, we thank you for the many opportunities to do good in the world. Whatever the tasks of our week, wherever we are, we pray that you will work through them and they will bear fruit for your kingdom. May we do all things in awareness of your presence, open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and with a heart set on working at them for you first and foremost. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.